Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And a cheery, happy Tuesday afternoon to you, SoCal. And continuing with yesterday's topic, we did a topic on homosexuality, astrology and metaphysics. And continuing with more controversy, today's topic is called racism, religion, and reincarnation. Today, basically, what I will discuss on the Astrology Hour is the basis for incarnation or reincarnation, in case you don't learn your lesson right. I think the saying for today's show, or for any show, when you ask the question, Farley, why is there reincarnation? Why does reincarnation exist? How can you prove it? And to answer that question, I will say that you become what you need to be one. This dimension is the illusion of separation. It is the third dimension, and everywhere you look, there is separation, and there is uniqueness, and there is differentiation, and there are qualities in individuals that we seem to think are outside of us. The true spirit of God and the true spirit of the force that actually directs this dimension is a force of one. And there is no other entity or quality or force in this dimension or any other except for one united force. In that way, we're all kind of terminals to this force or terminals to this God force, and we are all capable and qualified to reach a level of messianic consciousness, Christ-like consciousness, when we become well aware and we realize this oneness that we share. The purpose of the third dimension, typically, is to keep being born until this fact becomes blatantly simple and basic to an individual. Yesterday's show, we talked about homosexuality and some of the proof behind reincarnation as to why a female soul might be incarnated in a male body and vice versa, and why some people might have complex sexualities due to that fact. And today, we're going to talk about why you become what you need to be one. Now, this is interesting, because in life, it's funny that Mick Jagger once wrote a song for the Rolling Stones. You can't always get what you want, but for some reason, you do always get what you need. And metaphysics works exactly just like that. Everything, really, in life is perfect. And everything happens for a reason. And you get things and people come to you in your life because it is a perfect need. It is a perfect necessity. Which means that if you live your life as a racist jerk, let's say you live in the South in Biloxi, Mississippi, right? You torment black people your whole life, and you torment Jewish people your whole life, right? And you torment gay people your whole life, right? You getting this? And then you die, you see? Now, your soul doesn't have any prejudice. See, the higher part of your soul does not have prejudice. So when it gets done reviewing what you have just done in your past life, it says, let's see, you were a bigot, racist prejudice in Biloxi, Mississippi against blacks, Jews, and homosexuals. So you know what happens? Well, not only is your astrological chart set up in order to design certain karmic qualities that you will absorb at birth to give you optimum karmic vehicle, right? See, this is all a combination of energies and environment and genetic structure, because you will be born what you need to become, which will probably be a black Jewish man who happens to be a homosexual. And that's exactly what happens. Like, next time, it's really, really difficult. I want to be honest with you, because this show is an open forum and I try to be honest with you every day I can. I make mistakes. I'm human. You know, I go out on a limb sometimes. And the fact is that it is hard, very difficult in this dimension, on this planet, in this country, not to be a discriminating person. Because in the environment that we live in, with peer pressure and with school pressure and with family pressure, you either grow up with a mother or a father or both or aunts and uncles or friends that have this heavy, heavy discrimination problem where they don't like people. Or they'll point out a certain group of people and say, well, they're a bunch of blanks, aren't they? Or look at those blanks over there. Or you might read something in the paper where some gang members shot somebody in Westwood, and right away you will generalize and completely execute that entire race because somebody pulled a trigger and somebody else died. I mean, there are all kinds of reasons and there are all kinds of ways for us to be bigoted and prejudiced and discriminatory, for sure. Believe me, I have my own faults, and sometimes I have my own little prejudices that jump up, hopefully not on the air, but they do jump up. Only my closest friends know about it, and sometimes even in jest, even as a joke, you come up being bigoted or prejudiced or racist like that against a particular group of people, and believe me, no one pays for that than you. You're the only one that's going to pay for that. Because really, what I have found out to be the true reason, the true purpose behind the reincarnation cycle is that in this form, in this consciousness, we keep coming back to try to aspire to reach high levels of consciousness and awareness so we can become what we need to be one. Which means if there's anything out there that troubles us as far as people goes, then we are born that sect of people. Now here, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something that is very controversial and very strange, because I'm going to use a wild, wild metaphysical correlation or metaphysical possibility here. But let's say that during the hundreds of years that the cowboys and the Indians were warring against each other, that because of all the hate that transpired between cowboys and Indians, right, American natives and American settlers, that the Indians would die and incarnate as new settler babies, and the cowboys would die and incarnate as new Indian babies to try to get this stuff straight. It's like you wonder, people say to me, Farley, what happens to all the Nazis, the war criminals that created World War II? Well, do you think it's a possibility that they might incarnate as children in Israel and become Jewish children in Israel and maybe still carry some of this hate and prejudice and discrimination with them, but because they're Israelis or Jewish people now, they might need to project this discrimination on another group, like the PLO or the Arabs or the Palestinians? So next time, for example, next time you find yourself being discriminating towards anybody, you know, I find men putting down women and women putting down men and people putting down gays and people putting down Jews and people putting down blacks or Palestinians or Arabs or whatever. Next time you find yourself being discriminatory towards any individual sect, one or more, and you might want to make a list after this show of individuals or groups that bother you for whatever reason, and work on that. Understanding this fact, this reincarnational metaphysical fact that you will in fact manifest and become and attract to your life whatever you need in order to be one. And when I say one, I mean one with God, one with the universe, because you cannot ascend, in my opinion, to higher levels of consciousness and higher levels of awareness until you feel that oneness of God that we share with all people and all living things and all entities that are tied into the God force, okay? When you are a person that will say to yourself that I am apart from this individual, that person out there that I'm going to put down, that I'm going to discriminate against, I am separate from, right? I am not connected to that person. They are a dodo bird. They're a blankety blank, and they're in this gen, you know, and some bigoted comment comes out. Well, you're not being one with God, one with the universe. What you're being is a discriminatory fool and a racist fool. And what happens is that if you do put down, and I'll tell you something, there are people in every sect, people in every race, and people in every religion. It is in many ways, it seems, with all the competition between the races and the religions that goes on, that if you're not this, you're doomed, and if you're not that, you're doomed, and you're pressured to do this, and you're pressured to do that. That it's like trying to get through a maze, a wild maze on a quest to finally get through to the truth that you actually will become and manifest what you need to be in order to realize that you are one. And when I leave this dimension, see, like I say to myself, well, maybe I'm holding a little bit too much weight this lifetime because maybe I was one of those trim people that used to put down and criticize fat people all the time. So this is a life experience that I've needed to manifest so I could become what I need to be in order to be one. Or maybe I used to be an Indian and scalp people, take their hair, I didn't respect their hair, right? Or put down bald people because, hey, look, that guy over there is bald. You know, it's funny, especially children in schools, they always find ways to mock others. I used to be really upset because when I was a child, growing up in elementary school for me was difficult because my name was Farley and everybody made fun of it. And then in a metaphysical sense, I thought, well, I must have been that type of bully that used to make fun of people in a previous lifetime to earn and to manifest this type of karma. So, you know, this is really a very, very interesting topic. Racism, religion, and reincarnation, the three R's, not reading, writing, and arithmetic, but racism, religion, and reincarnation, definitely something to think about when next time you feel like being prejudiced, bigoted, or discriminatory towards any individual, sect, race, religion, or culture. It is, let's see, about 24 minutes after the hour. We have one line open now. I want to see if I have anything further to say here. Gosh, I grew up in an environment where there was a lot of hate, and there was like a lot of segregation and separation where this stuff where people, for example, walk around and say, like, we're the chosen. I'm not separating anybody and even saying the Jewish people are the chosen or the black people are the chosen, because a lot of individual groups have that feeling. Like, we're the chosen, or we're better, or the Presbyterians, or the Methodists, or the Catholics, or the Protestants, or the Mohammeds, or the Islams, or the Buddhists. They know the answer. They know the truth. I really prefer, if I associate with any group at all, I prefer to associate with a group that doesn't say we're the chosen. Because in my opinion, metaphysically, that's not sound. And once again, I'm not putting down or criticizing your individual beliefs. If you do have religious beliefs and you do believe you're the chosen, that's fine with you. With me, it's not. And metaphysically, I believe this is exactly the philosophy that keeps you separate from the rest of the universe and keeps you apart from the oneness with God that we all share, and exactly which is the hook which will pull you back to this earth after your incarnation. Because see, your higher self and your higher mind has no prejudice and has no discrimination. And one of the reasons why we are pulled back to this dimension, if not all the reasons, are due to selfishness and obsessions, desires like sex, money, even love and power and lust, or hate and greed and avarice. Sometimes what we are forced to come back to this dimension because we hated an individual or a group or specific people so much that we need to come back and make a peace with that part of ourselves that is reflected in another individual. So this topic is absolutely necessary for those of you that are on spiritual paths and for those of you that are ascending to a messianic quality or to a spiritual quality of mastership, which requires tremendous humility, tremendous selflessness, and tremendous void of obsession and hate and greed and avarice. Because see, greed is also something where you think there's separation because you want to take something from other people. See, so you want to hoard something from other people because you think you are better or different or more deserving of this than the other people are. So it is all these poor qualities of human nature that really brings us back once again in a reincarnation cycle. And I'm tired of hearing people ask me if they're, because they think they're a new soul or an old soul. And I'm tired of hearing people ask me if they think this is their fifth or sixth lifetime. I frankly believe that this is an eternal experience we're going through here. The human condition has been around for millions of years. And I believe that people have probably incarnated 50, 100, 500, maybe 1,000 times, because some people just won't learn the lessons. See, the Hare Krishnas even go further, and they believe that if you abuse animals, right, that if you abuse animals or even insects, that you can come back and become that too. We're talking like a guy in a slaughterhouse that enjoys his career, killing cows all day long. He enjoys his career. Maybe he'll come back as one of those cows. So see, so there's, some of the Hare Krishnas believe that people that abuse eating meat can come back as animals too. We include a book coming back, The Science of Reincarnation, that discusses this very issue, because I think the issue, of course, is very critical and powerful. This issue of reincarnation that I think definitely should be more discussed and even taught in schools, because everything in the universe is repetition. Everything repeats. Everything seems to come back. The tides, the sun, the way we breathe, the heartbeat, the flowers, the trees, the seasons. It makes sense that everything comes back. So why not the soul? It seems to be the rhythm of the universe. Let's go to line one and talk to Patrick, a Leo Aries rising. Hi, Pat.
Hello.
Thank you for calling back.
Oh, thank you. I was calling regarding yesterday's topic. I'm gay, and I have a double T-square of Sun and Pluto in the fifth house, squaring Jupiter in the second house in Taurus, and Mars and Scorpio in the eighth house.
Okay.
And I went to an astrologer recently who told me that if I did not resolve that T-square by 1993... First of all, she said that there were basically two types of homosexuals, that there were ones who were, I think it was Neptunian in origin, and Plutonian. And she said that I was of the Plutonian type, and that the Plutonian type were to evolve out of homosexuality or as their life's karma. And she said if I did not resolve this T-square, that that's what it was involved with, by 1993 that I would be dead.
Now, wait a second, Pat, I love you guy. that is utter nonsense. That is bull blank, you know. Also, I wanted to let our listeners know that you do have Venus in Virgo. So once again, you have the qualities we discussed that can create a homosexual man and an individual here.
My opinion is, I don't go with that at all. I think that definitely you have karma with men sexually because of the T-square aspects on your Mars in the eighth house. And I don't think it has anything to do with life and death. If anything, she's manifesting a lot of negative crap in your aura. She's probably homophobic. And I think that's almost like a threat. You know, I take offense to that, even though it was directed to you. I don't go with that at all. I think that if you're gay, you're gay, and you have karma just like anybody else, but instead of having karma with women, you have more karma with men, and you're to deal with your relationships just like anybody else would without trying to be too obsessed or without being too intense and too desirous. And if relationships don't work, then send them off with peace. And if they do work, then enjoy them. Of course, obviously use a condom if you're being too promiscuous, number one, because of that eighth house Mars. See, if anything, there's an AIDS risk. See, because Mars in Scorpio, in the house of life and death, if you were too promiscuous and you did hang out with a drug culture variety, that, if anything, that would be a life and death karma that could be a venereal karma. Do you understand that?
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay, you're not promiscuous, are you?
No.
Okay, so that's number one. But I don't believe in this Neptunian, Plutonian crap about gay men at all. So I don't know who she is, but I don't think we'd get along. Does that make you feel better?
Much.
Okay.
I was just interested in your point of view.
God bless you, Pat.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to a Leo on line three. Yo, Chris.
Hello.
How are you?
Farley, how are you?
Excellent.
I called yesterday about topic of being gay. And within the last 3 months, I'm starting to accept it because I always just thought I had fallen in love with a woman this time. Well, the relationship is going down because she cannot deal with it, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
To move on. But I'm having a hard time letting go. I'm afraid that, you know, this is my first relationship with a woman, that'll be it. You know,
oh, this is your first relationship?
Yes.
You know what you're plugging into? I'm going to throw my opinion out. I'll let you continue in a second. But you see, when a woman who's heterosexual decides to take a chance at being gay and falls in love with another woman and then gets their heart broken, what you're really feeling is what it's like, in a way, what men go through when they get rejected or left also when we get our heart broken. So in a way, metaphysically, you're really plugging into that male side of your past lives. And you're being confronted with sometimes a karma that was left undone that might force you into a temporary gay relationship or a temporary gay experience. After you've had this relationship, do you feel like you want to try another one?
Yeah, well, I look back at my life, and I realized I had more crushes on women than men.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm accepting it, you know, and I feel very good about it. Actually, I thought I'd be really quite upset, and I felt like a ton of bricks was off my shoulders, actually. It was like, oh, so that's what I'm afraid of, but I'm not anymore. But I think I was for quite a while.
Once again, you do appear to have Mars in Gemini at zero, which was one of the qualities I talked about, and you're a Leo, which is the dominant part for women. Then you have Venus in Leo and Jupiter in Sag and Uranus in Leo, so you have much better vibrations with women than men because you have Mars square Pluto, so sometimes your relationships with men could have been more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Than with women seem to go more free-flowing, even though they're not perfect. Did you find that you tried to dominate this last one and that's what didn't work?
Not at all. She was very dominant. She's a Leo.
Maybe you were too much puppy doggish.
Yeah, I lost my personality for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel pretty good about saying, okay, I want to end it, you know, but I guess I'm afraid that there's no more relationship. I don't, you know, that paranoia that this is the only one I'm going to have in my life or,
yeah.
You know, I don't know, see anything in the...
Now, how do you feel about Chris?
I feel pretty good about Chris.
You love Chris more than anybody?
Yeah.
Well, then that's the main key. As long as you don't feel destroyed enough where you lose that relationship with yourself, because that's the God force, hang on to your high self-esteem. Frankly, you're shown a lot of ladies, a long line, and you shouldn't be let down because you could have 4 or 5 type marriage, maybe more situations in your life with women.
Oh, wow.
So don't be depressed or insecure.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Cliff on line 5 in Aquarius. Hi, Cliff.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
It's a pleasure. I just came here from Phoenix, Arizona, and a friend of mine, Patty, who you spoke to a couple days ago, had your show on, and I was very intrigued by it. I don't know my rising sign, but the whole reason I came here, Farley, was to look for work.
Uh-huh.
I work in the film industry, and there's quite a little industry in Phoenix.
You mean home of the Cardinals, right? Home of the Phoenix Cardinals?
Oh, boy. Most of the city's not too thrilled about that.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Okay. So you want to know about possibly... You appear to be a pretty intelligent guy here, Cliff.
Well, I feel semi-confident. There's a lot of, like, I love to learn.
Mm-hmm. Part of your life's lesson is, believe it or not, direction and goals and fulfillment of dreams and such.
Mm-hmm.
And you've probably been bounced around a little bit here as far as trying to figure out what you want to do. Money appears to be a little tight. You might have spent a little more than you had the past couple years. May owe a few bills.
Right.
But one thing I do see is a spiritual surge in your life. Like astrology and metaphysics and understanding karma principles like that might not be that bad for you, because believe it or not, you are shown some latent abilities as far as being a New Age counselor and possibly an astrologer.
Uh-huh.
Now, as far as show business goes, it's a lotto. Until I get your rising sign, it's hard for me to be exact. But you do show some tight finances, getting better, possibly by summer, but March and April could be tough for you until you get established.
Uh-huh.
So you might have to accept something outside of the industry in order to keep you going
right.
until you land something.
Okay.
Okay?
Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go over here to Lisa on line number 8. Are you there, Lisa?
Yes, I'm here.
And you're the double Pisces.
I'm the double Pisces. How are you?
Very good. What can we do for you?
Well, I just wanted to comment on your topic and then ask you a quick question about my chart.
You know I love comments.
I know you do. That's why I have one. One is that I thought it was a very good topic, but as I become more metaphysical and I was brought up in a religious home, it's very interesting prospect for raising my own children.
Can you tell us what religion you were brought up in?
Brought up as a Jew.
Okay.
And I would like to impart that to my children. But I also think that religion helps to separate people.
In other words, you want to raise them Jewish with the idea that they shouldn't feel separate or chosen or apart from the rest of the people in the world.
Exactly. And that's a great challenge.
Yeah, it is. Especially considering that the Jewish tradition, in a way, it's strange because a lot of people that understand the mystical Judaism, like I have studied,
mm-hmm.
is the mystical Judaism is based on Kabbalistic thought, which is astrology, metaphysics, reincarnation, and karma.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes one wonder where that oneness of God philosophy was lost. I really think that the Jewish people, the original tradition, was supposed to be that they were supposed to act as the teachers for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow that got lost
yeah.
and ended up being teachers for themselves instead.
Yeah. Religion takes people's power away from them.
Right. That's what I feel, too.
And that's what organization is about. So that's where they got lost, I think.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So that's my comment. My question.
Good comment.
Where do you look, or where would it be in a chart that tells you if you've known someone in a past life? How does one look in your chart to see that?
Well, the best way I like to do that is check for exact numbers. Like in your chart, for example, if you had sun at, let's say, 3 Pisces, and Mercury at 14 Aquarius. Like, see, your Mercury's 14 Aquarius, my Pluto is 14 Leo.
Mm-hmm.
So I might have known you because of that 14-14 complement, exact opposition. Your Mars is 15 Taurus, and my Mars is 15 Libra. They're exactly quinks each other, and that could be a past life connection. And the more exact numbers I find, like, you have Pluto at 29 Leo, exactly sextile my Uranus at 29 Gemini. That's 3 exact numbers.
So we've known each other before.
Well, it's possible that we've crossed paths. To make sure that we've had a dharma or a karma or a soul connection would be if you had like planets exactly on top of my planet, same number.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were exactly a Libra rising at 20 or a Leo sun at 18 or had Venus on my moon at 17 Scorpio or Venus on my Mars at 15 Libra. That's when the buzzer goes off. You're like on Jeopardy, you know, da, 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 da. You know, that buzzer goes off, then you know. So that's really the way I judge to find if you have a karma or a past life connection. Exact numbers in aspect and exact numbers, same sign, same degree to send off the buzzer.
Okay, great. See you then.
Thank you. Bye. Let's go to Sally on line number 1, Scorpio Taurus rising. Hi, Sal.
Hi, Farley. How are you?
Excellent.
Great. I'd like to have a scan on my career. My chart in front of me, so.
You know, that's your major karma in life career.
Is it?
All you happy, optimistic, traveling bunnies from 1960 have Jupiter and Saturn. Actually, Saturn in Capricorn, and you were born October 27th.
Huh?
So you have Jupiter in Capricorn, too. Are you obsessed with success?
Yeah.
You're pretty much addicted to wanting to be famous, right?
Jupiter is 0 degrees, 19 minutes in Capricorn.
Amazing. You got Saturn and Uranus sitting on your Jupiter right now, so it appears you're on the periphery of some vital, critical choices here, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Are you being thrown a lot of options?
Yeah, kind of. Things are opening up. I'm in the film business, so it's all pretty much what I make it.
You doing anything I'd be interested in?
Not just yet, but I'll let you know.
Oh, you're aspiring then?
I'm aspiring, that's right.
What degree is your Taurus rising?
Let's see. 25 degrees.
The sun just entered your 10th house, which is real good, and Mercury will go direct and enter your 10th house, so you're shown some activity, imminent creativity and activity as the sun and Mercury both trine your Venus, so you're shown money and employment in the next 30 days and exciting stuff, too.
Really?
Yeah. When I tell people this, they call me back and go, thanks, Far, you were right.
All right.
Okay, babe.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Gil is online, too, May 30th, 58. Thanks for being patient, Gil.
Oh, thank you.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. First time I've heard your program, and that's very impressive.
Heavy show, huh?
Yeah.
This show weighs 1,000 pounds, guy. What's your question?
My question is, what do you foresee, I guess, as a career move or career within the next 3 to 6 months?
You have some factors in your chart that would be real good for self-employment. Scorpio Moon, Mercury in Taurus. You're a real creative person, and I kind of tend to think you probably made more money for other people than for yourself.
That's a career I'm pursuing right now.
Uh-huh.
I have to take an exam, and that's why I'm calling.
Well, good luck, guy. You are shown money in April and August and also in December every year, at least 3 power surges almost every year. Okay?
Right.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, this is KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative, here weekdays at 12 noon to 1 o'clock, 93.5, and we're going to be going into our second hour at 1 o'clock today.